Now, there's more to say about this awesome verse in 5 verse 1 of Romans before we move on to what it means for the introduction of the whole chapter. This word justification, my friends, is marvelous. Take a look at it. It's going to lift up your heart. Colin Cook here and How It Happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to a broadcast on the good news, the grace of God, the message that God has brought to us in Christ and what he did in Christ and how our faith responds. This is How It Happens. We're talking about how grace happens, how the gospel happens, and how faith in Jesus Christ is trained to intercept the struggles that we go through. You may have struggles with drugs. You may have struggles with food issues or heterosexual or homosexual addiction. You may have struggles with alcohol, or just the plain harassments of life. The budget, health, friendships, relationships, all these things, and you wonder how to get through the morass with your head on straight, how to believe that God still cares and still loves and is actually working in all of this. Now look, Romans 5 verse 1, my friend, says, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." As I said to you, this is a brilliant summary of all the four chapters so far, chapters 1 to 4, and it is also an introduction to this marvelous chapter, chapter 5. But don't miss the words. You know, religious words have been so platonically banded about, so, well, let's be simple, okay, so boringly stated, flatly stated, that we've lost their meaning of them. Do you know what it is to be justified? It's not, you know, you look it up in the theologian, the commentaries and what have you, and people, theologians, will talk about this as a forensic term, and forensic means a legal term, and there's the judge declaring you innocent and what have you. Look, my friend, don't miss the point of what a forensic term is, what it means to be justified. Let me take you back to Daniel, of all places, one might think, Daniel. Because what I'm about to say here, that to be justified is to be defended. Don't you think in all the struggle you go through, you need someone on your side? You need to be defended? You feel poked at and harassed by all the circumstances of life and the demons and Satan and all the rest of it, and then your own messed up situation. Don't you think that there's too much against you already? You don't want God against you as well? Well, look at this incredible prophecy, and I'm not going to go into all of its details, of course, but what we see here in the book of Daniel chapter 7 is that the Antichrist rises against the people of God. Daniel has a vision. "I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days," that's God the Father, "was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him, 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated and the books were opened." Wow, this is a judgment. Oh, don't talk to me about judgment, you say, Colin. I've got enough of my own judgments to deal with. Now look at this. "I watched in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man." Oops, what's this? We've got God, the Ancient of Days, on the throne, and one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. This is not the second coming of Christ. This is Christ coming to the throne where the Ancient of Days was sitting, coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. "Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is everlasting dominion, an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed." Now, of course, Daniel was a little bit nonplussed. What in the world is this all about? "I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me." He asked the angel what it was all about. And the angel said this, "The saints of the Most High," this is verse 18, "shall receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." But wait a minute, where are the saints? He didn't see a vision of saints. He saw a vision of the Ancient of Days, and he saw a vision of the Son of Man coming to the Ancient of Days and receiving a kingdom. Well, what do you think? The Son of Man, as I mentioned yesterday, is a representative for the whole human race who trust in him. And therefore, when he receives the kingdom from the Ancient of Days, this God the Father, he is doing so on behalf of the people of God, the saints. And that is why the angel says, "But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom." How do they receive it? In the person of the Son of Man. Notice Son of Man, not Son of God, because he's representing man. And at the same time, here's the Antichrist going around touting his powers and all the rest of it. And it says in verse 21, "I was watching, and the same horn, that little horn which was devouring flesh and doing all kinds of horrible things, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints." Here's the Antichrist warring against God's people. And that's not just the last day events, you know. It's Antichrist is always warring against us. Satan is always warring against us. The world is. The demons are. "I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came," or that is sat, that is this vision, this judgment scene that we see here in Daniel. The Ancient of Days, God the Father sits. Now listen to this, this is it. "And a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom." Now look at that. A judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. I think it's the King James Version that says, "Verdict or judgment was given to the saints of the Most High." The preposition "to" there is actually in the Hebrew "in favor of" or "for." So the Ancient of Days comes, and judgment or verdict, as another translation puts it, is given in favor of the saints of the Most High. How so? In the person of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. God gives the kingdom to the Son of Man, Jesus, representing and standing in on behalf of us. Verdict was given to the saints of the Most High. This is one of the most marvelous verses, Daniel chapter 7, verse 22, marvelous verses in the Old Testament on justification by faith alone. So now you have it, my friends, that justification is far more than some simple forensic checking off of the list and saying you're okay. This is God defending us when all hell breaks loose against us. Now you say, "Yeah, but Colin, I made my hell. It's my hell that's breaking loose in my life with all my addictions." I know that. But the point is, my friend, God defends you even against yourself. You are your own worst enemy, and it is your Heavenly Father, as you trust in him, in the person of Jesus Christ, who will defend you. And so what we have here in the book of Romans chapter 4 is a word packed with awesome meaning, packed with power and intensity and passionate love, not platonic love. Don't look at these verses in a cold manner. "Therefore, having been justified," that is, having been defended by the Creator of the universe, by God himself, who is going to take up the cause of his people, and who is going to push back the forces of evil for our sake, having been defended, justified, we have peace with God. Of course we have peace. He has brought us from the desert land and the dull darkness, and he has brought us into his presence, you see. How? Who? When? Where? Through Christ. Even if you don't feel it, even if you don't experience it, even if your conversion is dubious, questionable, even if you are not sure whether you were born again, you trust in Jesus who brought you in out of the darkness, for he was brought in out of the darkness at the rise of his body that we celebrate on that Sunday morning. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what do you do with this? Well, when you are in the darkness and the pit, depressed, overwhelmed, feeling shut out, abandoned, rejected, dishonored, ignored, bypassed, marginalized, Father, you say, I thank you that you defend me, that with you I am a majority, that even though all the world is against me, even though my own flesh is against me, even though I war against my flesh and am defeated over and over again, you are not against me. I trust in Jesus, your Son. He gained victory where I have not. This does not lead you to sort of sit on your lees. It doesn't lead you to become indifferent. It gives you courage to get up and go, my friend. Therefore, having been justified, declared innocent, my goodness, more than justified, declared innocent, but defended by your heavenly Father. You have one enemy in Satan, my friend. You don't need two in God. You have one accuser in Christ, in Satan. You don't need a second accuser. You would be done for. You need a defender, and you have one. And you affirm it in your spirit by faith. This brings health to your mind. Father, I thank you that you defend me, even though I accuse myself. I praise you, O Lord. Think of it this way, my friend. There is within you the kingdom of heaven. Oh yes, it is only like a little mustard seed. So small. I mean, if you should put your finger and thumb in the packet of mustard seeds, you can hardly, well, you really cannot pick one up. They stick to the end of your finger and thumb, and to get hold of one distinctly and separately is very, very difficult. You might have to take it out of the package with a pair of pincers. So small, so insignificant, little sparrows get fattened on hundreds of them. And yet, when that kingdom of heaven is planted in your heart and you learn to believe it, and you till the soil, and you let your heavenly Father let his rain and sunshine fall upon it, it grows. You dig yourself into the Word of God and you hear about the kingdom just as you're hearing about it in this broadcast. And in time, that mustard seed becomes a shrub and then a great tree, and birds of the air rest in it, and human beings rest under the boughs of your knowledge of the kingdom of heaven, and they find security in it. That's what's going to happen as you gently believe. This isn't a power that I'm talking about that will knock your socks off and the foundations of your house and somebody will think a gas leak has taken place and exploded the place. This is quiet and yet pervasive, a little seed that becomes a little shrub and breaks the rocks in pieces. Believe it. I'll see you next time, my friend. Cheerio and God bless.